Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's, again, more of the Monday edition of the Pat Miller program. And there are parts of this next segment that I want you to pay careful attention to. And to the lovely Mrs. Miller, if you're listening, there are parts of it I don't want you to listen to, because two of the three ladies that are with me today, when we last met, it was to organize your being here with us. And we happened to meet at the International House of Oh My Goodness. And I just... So now remember, you promised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, we're not saying what we had, right?
No,
Nobody's saying it. All right, so I've got three ladies here from three different aspects of overdose and overdose awareness. Overdose Awareness Day is coming up on Saturday, August the 21st, right here in Fort Wayne at the Allen County Courthouse. And we're going to tell you more about that and as we go through it and the different things that are happening. Well, I don't need to worry about that. My kids aren't on drugs. Well, you hope. You know, I guarantee you this, if you have somebody that's 30 years of age or younger, they are in a position where drugs can become part of their life really quick, really fast, and in ways you can't even imagine. Let me introduce the first young lady that's with me today. And she, this is your third time here.
Yes.
Okay, Andrea Schrader. And you want to say hi to somebody.
I want to say hi to my grandma. She's 97 years old, and she's listening right now. She's been listening to you for years, and to WoWo for years.
Listening to me?
Yeah, to you and WoWo, yes, for years.
Yeah, Caroline, what did you do wrong, dear? Are you like under a judge's order or
no,
something?
No, she loves talk radio.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I just want to say I love her.
And she's 97.
97, and still... doing great.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Caroline, will you come and sing at my funeral? Because I'll probably be gone before you're gone. So let's talk about this. And this is just an awareness of drugs and what it means. And I see a lot when Caleb Blakeslee and Jim Banks were down at the border about a month ago, they both came back and talked about the number of drugs coming across the border were incredible. I got a figure that I think I shared with you at breakfast. I got it the day before. Mm-hmm. That there's enough fentanyl coming across the southern border, that enough had come across already this year to kill every American four times. That is an amazing thing to me. It's absolutely amazing. Let's talk about you and let's talk about Mariah. You've talked about her twice before. We're going to talk about her again. You lost her when she was 27.
Yep, 27.
Tell me a little bit of the story.
Well, a little bit of the story is we'll just start with, you know, Mariah was a great person. You know, she had her flaws just like everybody. She experimented with drugs, you know, just like kind of like every other child would or kid would as a teen. But fast forward to what happened and how this happened was by the time Mariah was about 25 years old, she was just leading a domestic life with her boyfriend. She had three daughters. She was early on diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. So, you know, the mental health goes hand in hand with this.
Yep.
And a lot of times when things would happen in her life that she could not cope with, she lacked those coping skills, you know, and a lot of times people with different personality disorders will tend to self-medicate. So she was going through a breakup with her long-term boyfriend.
Okay.
Of 5 years they were together. And she moved, her and the girls moved out, lived with friends, and she reconnected with someone from high school who happened to be sober, quote unquote, she told me. And she just said, oh, I just really like this guy. And, you know, I'm going to help him with his recovery. You know, and she wasn't immune to this. She knew about it. She had friends that had fallen into this as far as, you know, the heroin was really starting to hit the streets a lot. And there were a lot of, she had lost friends already. So she knew that this was dangerous. She had a giving, kind heart and wanted to help those that were going through this or were homeless, you know. So back to the breakup, she just, I think that what happened was with her, she just thought, oh, I can try this and I won't get hooked on it. You know, I've experimented with other drugs before, you know. You know, by this time she's an adult, she's working, she's doing well, everything's going well in her life. And besides the breakup, which was probably breaking her on the inside. Mm-hmm. And like I said, she lacked those coping skills. And if a personality disorder goes untreated, which hers did, especially borderline, you know, that's not helpful.
Yeah.
And it's not gonna help her. So in 2016 is when she took her first injection of heroin with him in May of 2016. And her life just spiraled. I mean, one thing after another. She lost a place to live because her friend said she didn't want her to be there. You know, she lost that. She lost her car. She was homeless. She graciously gave the children to family because she knew, you know, what she was doing. She didn't want the children around. Mm-hmm. But I kind of think we as a family were in denial, too, about all of this. So I just couldn't believe it, you know. I've always been very aware of, you know, substance use disorder and addiction. I have her younger sister, who's now 27, has recovered. You know, she's an alcoholic, but she's in recovery and has been for a long time before Mariah got before Mariah started to use. So she's the one I worried about all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, Mariah I didn't worry about, and then so all summer long it was just a nightmare, a complete nightmare and roller coaster. You know, all the time. And I think by September, I started to realize this is serious.
Yeah, something's
going on.
She
was living in the motels. She didn't want to do this anymore. It's not what she wanted to do. She didn't, you know, that's not what our kids grow up. They make that choice. Yes, mm-hmm. They make that deadly choice, but they don't want to continue to do this.
Let me fast forward for a minute because time is screaming by. But when you lost her, mm-hmm. She went into like a coma. Something like a coma or a drug-induced coma that they did for her.
Yeah.
And so she was hospitalized.
Yes. She was gone, though. They had no pulse for like either 15 to 30 minutes.
Yeah. So you guys were there and, okay, we're pulling the plug. And you had to make the decision.
Yes.
This is very unfair to ask you this.
No, it's okay.
How hard was it for you to make the call to pull the plug when you knew she wasn't there, and that when it came to drugs, that probably in reality, you were actually probably worried about your other daughter more than this daughter. I mean, how shocking to you was it that you were pulling the plug on Mariah?
Well, it's a funny story. Not a funny story, kind of a... What happened was my daughter, the one that I used to worry about all the time, we were at the hospital for a day or two, and she finally went home to like just take a break. And for some reason, she felt like she needed to take a pregnancy test. And she did. And she was not expecting to be pregnant or anything, but, you know, she just had this feeling she was, you know. And she calls me as we're going back to the hospital. She says, Mom, I'm pregnant. And, you know, Mariah always wanted her to have a baby, you know, and be an aunt. And she never got to do that. But I think that was like a godsend because that's all my other daughter cared about at that time was, well, obviously what we were going through as a family to making those terrible decisions. And
right.
But to me, that kind of was like God's intervention, so to speak, you know, but it was really a very difficult decision. But I had a priest come and talk to me and hold my hand. And I just didn't want to make that decision. But he said, you have to look at it this way. If there's going to be a miracle when you take her off life support, that miracle will happen.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was very emotional, just time, you know, and then my daughter having, you know, kept finding out she's pregnant, and it was just
Okay. So for Andrea, with her daughter, Mariah, it was not an instantaneous thing. It was a rather short period of time. But then she was there and was actually the one that had to help make the decision to pull the plug. In a minute, we're going to talk to Teresa. Her child also ended with a drug death, but it was a different scenario, and I'll tell you how it is that she dealt with that one, and we're going to do that when we come back straight ahead. This is Pat Miller on WoWo 1190 AM, 107.5 FM. Hey, welcome back. It is the Pat Miller Program on this Monday here on WoWo, and you know, I like to interview important people and have fun and all that. I don't know that we're having fun today. There's not a whole lot of ha-has going on here. I'm having fun knowing we're getting an important message out for people that need to hear it and that maybe we can do something to stem the tide a little bit. We talked to Andrea Schrader just earlier, and we were talking about her and her daughter Mariah that she lost at age 27. For Teresa Jewelrat, she lost her son Christopher, who was a Northside grad, when he was 23. And you lost him in May of last year.
May of 2020.
Yep. So long-time drug problem, short-time drug problem? What was with going on with him?
Same with Andrea. You know, our kids, we know that there are instances where they're put in situations where they experiment. So he did start with marijuana use, and mm-hmm. that kind of landed him into some legal trouble. And so that's kind of, I think, where it started, along with just kind of self-medicating to ease his pain, because he had also been through some pretty traumatic events in his life.
Do you buy the story that I get sometimes? Oh, Pat, get off it. Marijuana's not that bad. It doesn't lead to anything else. Yeah, it does.
Well, it definitely is a gateway drug. But with those individuals that have that addiction component, you know, addiction is a disease. And I think, you know, these kids don't schedule appointments with a psychologist or a physician. Mm-hmm. You know, they rely on their friends and word of mouth. And, hey, here, you feeling in the dumps? Try this. And so they're very susceptible to just making bad choices, not even knowing what is in what they're being given or sold.
Yeah. Your story is a little different in that Andrea sat there until somebody came to her and said, okay, it's time. We need to do this. And she said, okay, we have to pull the plug.
Mm-hmm.
You received a phone call.
Yeah.
Talk to me real quick what the phone call was like.
I received a phone call from my son's girlfriend who had talked to him, and she had noticed some slurring of the words that was different than earlier that morning. And so, you know, we thought he had just made a bad choice. So I drove to the home expecting to just get him in the car, you know, smack him around a little bit. And that was very much not the case. I did not have a key to get into the house, so I had to wait for her to meet me there. And as soon as we walked in, I saw him. He was on the couch, and I knew, you know, just by his color, I'm a CPR trained certified individual, and I never once imagined that I'd ever use it on my own child. But there I was calling 911. I don't even know how I was able to do everything. You know, it's just kind of training. But I called 911 while I'm administering the CPR, and it was unsuccessful. The EMTs arrived and they continued, and they did regain a pulse, which gave me hope.
Yeah.
And, you know, they administered Narcan. I didn't even know what Narcan was at the time, but it seemed to help. So here we are. Because of COVID, I was sent home to just wait for the phone call. And when that phone call arrived, I wanted to know, you know, what room number do I go to? Where is he at? When can I bring him home? And I was given the news over the phone that he had passed away.
Okay. So we're going to change our scheduling here a little bit. I need to get off for the news here. When I come back, I'm going to talk to Teresa some more. I'm going to talk to Jennifer after that, and we're actually going to spill this over into the next hour, just because I'm looking at the clock and I want to talk about it. The show's got my name on it, so I'll do whatever I want. The general manager will probably call me in tomorrow. So the show has your name on it, does it? So here we go. All right. So Brian's coming up with the news, top of the hour. John's over there pushing all the buttons to make sure everything's okay. These three lovely ladies are going to hang with me a little bit longer, listen to this stuff, and then we're going to tell you even more how you can help, how you can get involved, how you can go to the open house, how you can give. There's just a lot that we can do. Fort Wayne, if we don't save our own young, they're not going to get saved. Okay, they're just not. So let's be ready to step up. Back with more straight ahead. Pat Miller on WoWo 1190 AM 107.5 FM. I'll never live to see my 70s, so don't worry about it. All right, that's Brian. He's going to be back at the top of the hour. Let me get back to our special guest here, everybody. And I appreciate the fact that you understand we're not taking phone calls here for a while because we're covering a lot. August the 21st, Saturday, Overdose Awareness Day, and we're talking to some beautiful ladies here in the studio today who have had their lives flipped upside down to one degree or another because of drugs and overdose. We talked earlier to Andrea Schrader, and we're talking to Teresa Jewelrat. And Teresa, again, from me to you, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Yours was a tough story because they took your son. When you got to where he was, you'd received a call from the girlfriend. You got there. You didn't see a pulse. You tried CPR and all the other stuff, and then the EMS came, and they were able to get some kind of pulse.
Mm-hmm.
The phone call comes. Let's go back to that. Phone call comes. You think they're ready to tell you, okay, he's stable now, and he's in this room. You can come see him, pick him up here. That's not the call you got.
Sure. That's absolutely not the call that I got. And so a living room full of loved ones heard what the pastor or the chaplain told me over speaker. And so my whole entire house, you know, crumbled. And so I was given the opportunity to drive at that point to the hospital and just, you know, to say goodbye.
Yeah. Just like, I mean, just like Andrea with Mariah and you with your child and the 10 or 20 that we've heard about in the Fort Wayne area just over the last couple of weeks, that, you know, not every obituary tells you everything, but there's a lot going on. There's a lot of this kind of story happening out there. What has it been for you since? I mean, you're part of a group. Rather than just running and walling off, and I know you have some days when you just want to wall off. I get it. But you have chosen with ladies like these and some others, you're choosing to dive in so that maybe there could be some other mothers that will never have to get the phone call that you got. What is the drive for you?
Well, I had started my advocacy work with JAVA 3 years ago.
So and JAVA stands for?
JAVA stands for Justice, Accountability, and Victim Advocacy.
Okay.
We had a homicide in my family, so that kind of drove my passion to just dig deeper into the laws and just what is happening in our city. So fast forward to when the tables turned for me, being an advocate and consoling these moms who have previously lost children, I was a stranger to all of that. And then when, you know, the tables turned, like I said, all of these mothers who I once comforted were there for me in strong numbers. And it was at that point that I realized that I cannot do this without the support, you know. And so I wanted to wait for the toxicology to come back because I wasn't sure at that point what took my son's life.
And you've had some medical history. I mean, you understand medicine and all that. So you knew what it was you wanted to look for to know how to take the next step.
Correct. I mean, I'm not an expert at reading an autopsy report, but I am, you know, medical terminology. I'm not a stranger to it. And just from knowing, you know, the toxicology results, those are kind of hard to read too. But the coroner walked me through what I was actually reading when I received it in the mail. And it was, it's just alarming. You know, my son had over 10 times the lethal dose of fentanyl in his system.
That's unbelievable to me.
Unbelievable.
Well, because, you know, I think it was maybe you at breakfast the other day that said, you know, one pill can do it.
Not even less than half a pill can do it.
And those pills are not always, don't always show up when they do testings for drugs and everything because they're odorless. Sometimes even the dogs can't find them.
Yeah. Well, and like I had shared, you know, my son did get in a little bit of legal trouble. And as part of that, you know, he was administered drug tests. And I discovered that the standard panel, which is normally what is administered, does not contain fentanyl. And so I have heard that word on the street, you know, because it is odorless and it is undetectable on most tests, that that is what kids are taking because they want to just kind of go under the radar and not get caught, you know. And so to them, it's better not knowing the risks really that are involved.
What we're going to do, I got to slide away again for a minute. When I come back, I'm talking to Jennifer Hope. Her story, same thing, child, drugs, story's a little different. Doesn't mean it's easier all the time, but we're going to talk about that. And then after the news at the top of the hour, the three of us will talk together. I need to really make you aware of what happens at the Allen County Courthouse on Saturday, August the 21st, a day of hope and healing from noon to 3. Horrible scenarios, but a tremendous thing can happen on that day. If we can even keep one kid from going down a bad path or just make all of us even more aware. Saturday, August the 21st, from noon to 3 o'clock at the Allen County Courthouse. I talked to Jennifer when we come back, and then I will talk to all three of them after the 5 o'clock news. This is Pat Miller on WOWO 1190 AM, 107.5 FM. Hey, welcome back. For about the next 9 minutes, I'm going to be talking to my third mother who's here with me. And then after the news at the top of the hour, the three of us will talk together. And I want to talk about a lot of the ins and outs of the event that's going to happen on the 21st and the roses and the ribbons and the pictures and all that. And we'll get to that. But right now, sitting over here with us is Jennifer Hope. And Jennifer, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
The difference between you and the other two mothers is you are dealing with a son, Jake. Mm-hmm. Who's 28.
Yes.
Who you have not lost him.
Correct.
But he is still dealing with recovery. So what's that like?
Well, recovery is never going to end for him. That's something he's going to manage every day for the rest of his life. And while, you know, today my outcome is different than Andrea or Teresa's, I think we all went through a similar experience. I remember when Jake was 16 and tried alcohol for the first time, that triggered that dormant disease that's genetic in our family. And what ensued was about 7 years that I would not wish on anyone, not on the person struggling with substance use disorder or the family. I didn't understand what was happening. I lost my joy. I spent a lot of days in a puddle on my floor crying. I wanted to help my child. I didn't know how to help my child. I thought I was helping my child, but at times I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand it was a disease, and he would tell me he didn't want to keep living that way, but he would go right back to it, and you know.
And at that point, initially, it was alcohol?
It started with alcohol, yeah. But it spiraled quickly.
See, my father was a horrible alcoholic.
So was mine.
Okay. We lost everything. We had more money than we needed to have. Lost it all when I was 6. And then divorce came, and I didn't hear his voice from the time I was 6 until I was 22. Mm-hmm. And it's the reason today, I mean, I don't think you should abuse alcohol or anything, but you can't say, well, as a Christian, you should never have a beer. No, I can't do that.
Right.
But I don't touch it because I don't trust what might be dormant inside of me.
Right. We don't know what our genetics are until we try that.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
I know my father lost his battle with alcohol when he was 54, but when it was my child, it became a completely different story. And I felt alone and scared. I didn't want to tell anybody what we were dealing with. I didn't want my child to be judged. I didn't want to be judged. I didn't want my other children to be judged. Mm-hmm. So I suffered alone in silence, you know, a lot of nights awake, not able to sleep. Where is my child? Is he alive? Has he eaten today? When am I going to see him again? You know, rehab, sober living homes, jail, homelessness, telling your child you can't stay here and watching them walk away.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't words.
It's almost like every day is a made-for-TV movie.
People don't believe the things that the three of us have seen, watched, lived through.
Right.
But we're not the only three. There are tens of thousands of families in Fort Wayne just like us today.
We're going to talk more about the event coming up at the top of the hour, but
sure.
Because of what you just said, I'm really hoping that some mothers, even the teenagers themselves, will show up Saturday the 21st at the courthouse, mm-hmm. and some of them will find you out and say, can I talk to you for a minute? Because I haven't been able to talk to anybody about this. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there were days when you're making puddles on your own floor, you probably wish you had that person.
Absolutely. That's why what I do today is to provide to families what would have been helpful to me during those 7 years.
Yeah. Where is Jake today? How is he doing? What's the relationship like between you and him and he and his brothers and sisters and all that? What's that like?
It's completely different than it used to be. I always say today is good. I don't know what tomorrow brings. Today our relationship is good. You know, he had time homeless, in jail, rehabs. In 2017, his whole family, we had finally gotten on the same page and none of us were going to enable him anymore. And I use that word cautiously.
Yeah.
There's a fine line in what my boundary is and what someone else's boundary is different.
Yeah. Well, sometimes enabling is giving him the next shot or the next beer.
Yes.
And sometimes enabling is to look at him and say, well, it's really not that bad. Let's don't bother him right now.
It's so, yeah. It encompasses so much and it's different for everyone. But he sought recovery on his own in 2017. I can't control the stories, and I'm almost hesitant. You know, these two women with me right now, my heart aches with them.
Yeah.
I can't control the fact my son's still here and doing well.
Yeah, I thought about that. This is maybe an unfair question. Sometimes you probably almost feel like you have survivor's guilt.
Yes.
Theirs died and yours didn't.
Yes.
Yeah, that in itself is another whole cloud of hell all around you sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know. How much does he realize he could have been on the skids and there could be a tombstone right now with his name on it? Is he aware of that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's he realized if he did not do something differently, he had two choices in front of him, more jail time or the tombstone that you just mentioned.
Well, and you know, and for the three of you, by the way, the lovely Mrs. Miller says she admires all three of you for speaking out.
Thank you,
I wish you could meet her today because she's the nicer half of this thing. But in the difficulties that you've gone through with him, is your relationship with him now the same as it is with your other children, or will it always be different? And what's it like between your others and him?
Well, that's a question I've not thought of. I mean, our relationship, you know, there's just an element to it that I, as of today, don't have with my younger two children. There were, you know, 7 years where his younger brother and sister didn't really have much of a relationship with him. Thankfully, today, you know, they do. Jake lives in West Virginia. When he sought treatment in 2017, he decided it was best to stay in West Virginia, away from Fort Wayne and all the triggers it holds for him. So, you know, our family has, you know, come together.
Yeah. You know, that in some ways that makes a lot of sense. And I'm almost really amazed he was able to make that kind of decision.
But he did, about maybe 2 months into his six-month stay at the rehab. He called me and I wrestled with that.
Sure.
But I came to peace with, I would much rather have him healthy and have good visits with him periodically mm-hmm. than any of the alternatives.
Right. Yeah, it's better than the phone call in the middle of the night.
Yes. Yep.
And to have that. We're going to slip away here in just a minute. When we get back, we're going to put more meat on the bones here of the skeleton of this event coming up. I do appreciate Jennifer and Teresa and Andrea. Andrea, it's her third time here. Shocking that she's been here twice before and she was willing to come back. Yeah, I'll put up with him again. This thing at the courthouse, it's on Saturday, August 21st. It's 3 hours out of your day. It's 3 hours out of your life. And I would suggest to you, this is just me. My kids are more grown now. My baby is 36 and my oldest is 40, which is amazing because I'm only 45. I don't know how that happened. It wouldn't hurt you, even if you think your kids aren't involved in any of it, or your grandkids, or if you think that no way would this ever become part of their life. Hopefully not. Praise God if it doesn't. But the more you can become aware of what it is that's going on, I was not aware of how much the drugs have permeated our streets. I knew it was there. Until I sat down with these ladies the other day, I was not aware of the extent to which it's right here. I know we like to think that Fort Wayne's a great city, and it is. And we've got the low cost of living, and we have low unemployment, and yada, 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 and good schools, and the zoo, and okay, we got another thing. We got a drug problem. We are incredibly located between Indianapolis and Detroit, and between Toledo, Cleveland, Columbus, and Chicago. We are a crossroads, and I had a police officer tell me one time, at the corner of I-69 and Highway 30, if you knew how many drugs pass through that intersection in a day, you would be shocked. So let's do this. We're going to come back after the news. Brian comes up here with the top of the news, top of the hour. And just after Brian, I'll talk to all three ladies at once. We're going to talk about roses and awareness ribbons and pictures and a get-together and putting hope in people's lives. Those that have suffered loss, those that are suffering now, and those that might suffer in the days ahead. All this happens right after the news here on WoWo Radio, Fort Wayne. Hi, welcome back. It is the Monday edition of the Pat Miller Program. Thank you very much for hanging with us today. Thanks to these three ladies who have spent their afternoon with me, Andrea, Teresa, and we talked last with Jennifer. And we went through the stories and a lot of tears, a lot of tragedy, a lot of sadness. We wish we could undo it all. In the reality that we can't, don't we really help by letting the reality of what it is that fentanyl and the other drugs bring to the lives of our young people, what it really is and what it can really do? And isn't that really the heartbeat a little bit yes. behind the activity we're going to have?
Yes, that is the heartbeat behind yeah. it.
This activity that comes up, and let me ask this to Jennifer here real quick, because this is a day of hope and healing, August the 21st, Saturday. And one of the things that we're going to do is everybody's going to gather there on the courthouse lawn, downtown Fort Wayne, from noon to 3. And we're going to have roses and purple awareness ribbons. And the roses, as we talked about during the break, are basically mm-hmm. in place of like sending balloons up into the air. And balloons are cool too, but if I write the name of somebody I knew on a balloon and I send it up, it's cool, but it's gone. But these are artificial roses,
mm-hmm.
and I hate to ask this, what color are they?
Purple.
Are you listening, Kim? So they're purple, but they can actually take these home.
Yes.
Remind you of a young person you lost, or remind you of a young person you knew, or maybe even just remind you to pray for some people.
Absolutely.
Where we need to create the awareness, right?
Yes. You can take it home for any reason, but, you know, we hope that you will remember someone, you will remember the fight. It might even spur someone to join us in the fight.
Yeah, because we're talking about the fact that this is Overdose Awareness Month.
Yes.
But it's 1 month. For you three, the memories and the fight and the hurt and the despair go on and on and on and on and on. It's an every month thing for you guys, right? Mm-hmm. So that doesn't end. Let me ask Teresa a question. And the main reason I did is so I could say her name one more time, because it's Jennifer or Teresa Jewelrat, and I knew I would get the last name wrong, and I've gotten it right, so I'm quite proud of myself. Mm-hmm. But one of the other things that you're going to do, tell me about these pictures that will look like yard signs and how this is going to come into play with what happens on that day.
Mm-hmm. Well, our children, you know, to us moms are beyond a statistic that you read in the paper. They have faces, you know, and we want to express who they were, and what better way to do that than to offer these families who have lost loved ones and who are in the middle of recovery or battling addiction, get your picture on one of these signs, and they stake right into the ground. And it puts a face to the name, you know, and you can see your child in the photos of our loved ones that we've lost.
They almost look like little political signs, like mm-hmm. little yard signs, but you can stick them in the ground.
Yeah.
And my understanding is when the whole activity goes on, if I'm there and if I've lost a loved one and I've had a sign made, I might be sitting there in my lawn chair during mm-hmm. the activities, and that sign is right next to me.
That's right.
But then we could take them and make them part of the gathering of everybody, and then you take them home and you take the roses home. Now, to have the signs made, mm-hmm. and it's a good size sign, really,
mm-hmm.
And with the picture, the cost per sign is $10?
$20 a sign.
Okay.
And that includes the sign that, again, like Pat said, you can take home and keep with you. And it includes their name, how you want their name to display on the sign, and their birth date and their angel date. Or if you're in recovery, then we would like to have your sober date on the sign.
Okay. And now to do that, they go where? Do they go to Java on Facebook, or where do you want them to go to order a sign?
Yeah, you can contact me directly. You can find, if you're not a member of Java currently, you can find Java by going to Facebook, looking for hashtag Java. And again, my name is Teresa Gillarette, and I am collecting all of the photos, and I'll get some specific details from you and make sure that your loved one is included in our display that day, and make sure that you can take one home.
Again, let me go back over some points that we talked about, and then we'll wrap it up again by giving you the times, the dates, and all that stuff. A lot of the pills that are affecting our kids today are not even detectable. That you can't smell them. They don't stand. It's not like smelling marijuana in a car. You know, there's nothing really that the officer goes, okay, we got something going on here. They may know, they may not know. And as nasty as marijuana is, marijuana might be the gateway. This is the end of the road drug. This is the stuff that's going to bring everything to an end. We heard Congressman Jim Banks tell us on this program, sitting right there a couple of weeks ago, that enough has come across the border of fentanyl just since January 1 of this year to kill every American four times. Mm-hmm. That is just nuts to me. And you're like, well, then we should be hearing more. Well, there's a lot more of it happening than we hear. You guys are telling your stories. Sometimes obituaries in the paper or news stories might tell, probably won't tell. They're trying to help hurting families and everything else and all that. But it's there, and it's taking lives. It's taking over lives. We talked to Jennifer a little bit ago about Jake, and Jake is now going through school and heading to a law degree, but it hasn't been easy. And he still needs to watch himself to make sure that there's not some kind of a relapse and going back through all this all over again. So there's going to be a GoFundMe page where you can go. Producer John, what he's going to do is, as soon as this is over, this whole interview is going to go up on my page at wowo.com. Just go to wowo.com, look for the Pat Miller Program. This interview will come up. There'll be a link to the GoFundMe page, and you can go there. I'm sponsoring some of the signs for some of the people who maybe don't have the $20 to have the sign made or whatever. So I'm sponsoring some. You guys can sponsor some. In fact, between me and some of you out there that I know that are out there listening, none of these parents should have to pay for their own sign. We can figure out a way to do this. The last thing on this, and let me ask you, Andrea, this is a figure that I think you said at breakfast a couple of weeks ago, and I heard it again just this morning. 93,000 have already been lost this year.
Yep.
Because of this, because of fentanyl. That's just amazing to me.
And as we sat here today, just think there's more families that are enduring this horrible, tragic loss.
Yep. They're screaming right now.
Yep.
They're trying to pound the chest of their loved one, saying, "Don't die on me! Don't die on me!"
Right.
They're getting phone calls. Their whole world is coming to a very rapid, ugly, nasty halt. You know, and this stop doesn't stop, and that's the sad thing. To the three of you, to Teresa, thank you very much for coming, and thank you for sharing. And I've come to learn a little bit about you and to like you. I know why my friend Angie thinks you're such a special person. To Andrea, thank you for being back
for
the third time.
Thank you for
having me. We need to get you like an endurance ribbon or something. You can definitely be three times. I mean, you know, I've got politicians that won't do that. And then to you, Jennifer Hope, thank you so much. And our thoughts and prayers are with you. You know, you haven't lost your son. You lost a lot of time with him.
Yes.
And he's lost a lot of his youth. Hopefully those days are over. I guarantee now that you have a grandchild that's sitting there waiting to grow up, I guarantee mom and dad and grandma are going to be watching out over that kid like crazy.
Yeah, we sure are.
There you go. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
I appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Podcasts by Federated Media.